Hare Krishna, reading from My Glorious Master, Auckland, New Zealand, 1976. A gift while flying with Prabhupada. A quote outside devotee, Rishabh Dasi, cooked some burfi for Prabhupada and asked me to offer it to him during his flight. After we were safely airborne, I left my economy seat and carried the sweets in their metal container covered in plastic to the first class section, where Prabhupada sat with his servant. I offered him the sweets on behalf of Rishabh Dasi, and he smiled and accepted them. Harisuri later returned the plate to me. Half the sweets were eaten. We honored and distributed Prabhupada's remnants and kept the plate with its plastic cover as Mahaprasad. Rishabh Dasi had spontaneously made good use of an opportunity to cook for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had accepted her gesture. I also had the good fortune of being the instrument of her serving mood. I benefited by handing Prabhupada the burfi and by eating and distributing his remnants. And I got to keep the plate from which Prabhupada had eaten. Knowing Prabhupada. Going through Fiji immigration, my daughter, Vrindavan Leela, who was only 1.5 years old, saw Prabhupada. She excitedly stretched out her hand and pointed a finger in recognition. Prabhupada! Prabhupada looked at the small child and laughed with mild surprise. He said, "She knows me." "Everyone knows you, Prabhupada," I added. Prabhupada was pleased with her, and before she ran shyly back to her mother, for some moments he affectionately patted her on the head and stroked her face. My comment. Vrindavan Leela had seen Prabhupada's picture and heard his name since birth. Her first words were Prabhupada, and when she got a little older, she would say Prabhupada when his picture was placed before her. Now she connected Prabhupada with his picture and excitedly expressed her discovery with her outstretched finger. Starting the next chapter, Fiji, 1976. Upendra, along with a wealthy Fiji Indian supporter and devotee, Dowji Punja, met Prabhupada at the Latoka airport and drove him and his entourage to his house. As soon as we arrived, Prabhupada pointed to me and said, "Lead kirtan." I sang and my daughter danced. Prabhupada said to me, "She was a great yogi in her past life." On hearing this comment from Prabhupada, Jagatrini looked at him and laughed. Prabhupada replied, "Yes, it is so. It is Shastra. Without carrying Krishna consciousness from the previous life, how can she be dancing in kirtan at such an early age?" My comment. My voice was not great. I felt Prabhupada was encouraging me and including me in his entourage by asking me to lead kirtan. He told me that my daughter was previously a great yogi, and to show that he was not just flattering me, he said that it was stated in Shastra, Sutinam, Shimatam, Gehe, Yoga, Brashta, Abhijayate. Why not cook like they cook? Dowji Punja's wife, as well as the other ladies in their family, prepared tasty Gujarati-style prasad. Prabhupada appreciated their delicious cooking, and after honoring it one day, commented, "Why the devotees in our movement cannot learn to cook like this?" My comment. The Indian culture is sweet and indirect. In this case, Prabhupada's complimenting the cooking expertise of his hosts took the form of a gentle criticism of ISKCON's cooks. Listen to him. Kevin, a devotee living outside the New Zealand temple, had been inspired by Prabhupada's, quote, "shave up" lecture in Auckland and had shaved up. He then decided to join Prabhupada's entourage and accompany him to Fiji. When Kevin approached Prabhupada in Fiji and told him that he wanted to surrender, Prabhupada pointed to Guru Kripa Swami and said, "Then surrender to him." my comment. Prabhupada had thousands of disciples. He could not privately instruct or guide them all. He had to rely on his senior disciples and sannyasis to help him guide the younger devotees, as a father may rely on older sons to care for younger ones. The senior disciples, therefore, carried a burden of love on behalf of their spiritual master, spiritual father, to properly represent Prabhupada's interests, mood, and affection. Paths to Perfection. Guru Kripa Swami sat at Prabhupada's feet and asked Prabhupada a pointed question. Prabhupada, what about some devotees who are not interested in book distribution? These devotees really don't seem to be carrying the mood of their spiritual master. They are not into preaching, but instead get into other projects like farms. Prabhupada replied firmly, do you think that the spiritual master is a dumb stone who cannot instruct different disciples in different ways? End quote. My comment. Prabhupada's vision for worldwide preaching was broad. Therefore, he instructed different disciples to develop different aspects of that vision, with their perfection being to surrender to the specific order they had been given. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Sayam Sadhamo Vigunat Paradamat Svanushitat Svadharma Nidhanam Svaya Paradamo Mayavaha. It is far better to perform one's own prescribed duty, even though faultily, than another's duty perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duty, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Bhagavad Gita 3:35. Householders and eating and sleeping. Prabhupada took his morning walk near the ocean. As we walked along the sidewalk, I saw neither waves nor palm trees, only the one-story factories that dotted the side of the road. Prabhupada spoke about renunciation. Kukripa. Sanatana Goswami also depended on Krishna to provide him food? Prabhupada, yes. But for the renounced order of life, the order is you must beg. Bhika. Not much. If I can subsist by taking one chapati, I'll simply ask for one chapati, not for two chapatis. That is Shastra. If you can live without any chapatis, that is very good. But you can ask as much as you require. Not to eat sumptuously and sleep 24 hours, no. And then I said, and what about householders? Oh, householders, Prabhupada replied. Householders can eat the whole world and sleep. My comment. We all laughed at Prabhupada's sarcastic remark. Prabhupada was pointing out that we are neither householders nor sannyasis. We are souls with eternal relationships with Krishna. Excessive material entanglement, regardless of our ashram status, simply inhibits developing our love for Krishna. Prabhupada continued to explain the purpose and limits to the concessions granted to householders. Quote, because he is householder, he has got the concession. Householders are unable to refrain from sex indulgence. That is their incapability. Because I am householder, I've got the facility to have sex as many times and eat as much. That is not householder. That is grihamedi. There are two words, grihamedi and grihasta. Grihasta is different from grihamedi. Grihasta ashram. Although he is householder, it is an ashram only for advancing in Krishna consciousness. That is grihasta. But a grihamedi cannot do that. Okay, we shall end here. On that somber note, Hare Krishna, and sober note, Hare Krishna.